celebrating success, learning from legends, and growing poppies. This is Tall Poppy Talk with Grace Lewis.
Kia ora and welcome to Tall Poppy Talk. Today we have Ava Goodison. She is a professional triathlete representing New Zealand. Starting out as a competitive swimmer, she expanded to track running and is now bringing all the skills together as an elite triathlete. After a successful series of nationals as a teen, Ava took an opportunity to broaden her experiences athletically and academically by taking a scholarship to UC Davis in America. Graduating in 2021, Ava went full throttle into her pro athlete pursuit, and it paid off when she got a spot as reserve for the Commonwealth Games that same year, was introduced to the elite team, and propelled into competing on the world circuit. Some wisdom Ava took away from her time in California was that a diverse life filled with multiple areas of focus away from sport made her a better athlete, which is why she's continuing her study with a postgrad at Massey University, and I just found out a job as well. So she is in the midst of her European competition. We're speaking today in between some big races. Next up in early October, I believe, is the World Triathlon Cup in Rome. And 2024 has seen Ava truly excel in her comeback from a neural back injury. She's been competing and placing in events all over the globe, from Oceania to Europe to wherever's next. So I'm so excited to have you on Tall Poppy Talk. My first question is, where and how are you today?
Wow, thank you for that very in-depth introduction, Grace. Really makes me sound amazing, which is actually quite interesting given that this is the Tall Poppy Talk syndrome. So I'll try and embrace that and use it in a positive way. But yeah, I am currently in a little town called Banyoles, which is in northern Spain. And I'm here with a few of the other New Zealand triathletes just at the Triathlon New Zealand base camp in between a few of the world triathlon races. So it's not a bad place in the world to be. Can't complain. And it's quite nice because we get to come back here year after year. The roads are familiar. It's a great setup to travel and race around Europe. The travel to and from New Zealand's a little bit much when your races are mostly in the Northern Hemisphere. So no, very, very fortunate to be here. And yeah, it's a great setup for racing and training.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. And you're so right. Like, places do come familiar, even probably when you were in the States, or even me in my rowing career. It's like, oh, I love this star area because they have like a shaded spot here or this. Like, you start to understand and know the nuances of each the environment you're in. So it's really good to hear that home away from home when you are on the road so much. Yeah. And to get into like this first question, and I loved because on a previous podcast, the host, so I'm kind of just taking from them, was like asking you about personal branding, because you do and you did study business mm-hmm. and marketing. You're savvy yeah. and you're switched on to what it is to build a personal brand as an athlete. So to get right into it, Ava, what would be your personal brand?
Yeah, so I guess that is the positive about having an undergraduate degree in marketing and understanding the importance of branding, and moving into a sport where there is little funding, you do actually need to make a name and a brand for yourself. And I've actually found that often it's the way that you can create your brand and sell that brand to sponsors is that sometimes they prefer the story and the branding more than the actual results. And that was hard to grasp to start with, because I felt like I wasn't good enough to get sponsors and I wasn't deserving enough to begin with, which is such a classic New Zealand like mentality that we just think we're not quite good enough. Versus I was like, and this is something that America did teach me, is that like have confidence in yourself. And like over the years there, it was like, okay, like if you can back yourself enough and you can like act confident, then you can really sell yourself. So that's actually what I found to be like really helpful when I was selling myself to early sponsors. And I mean, I'm going to be honest and upfront, I'm not earning a lot of money from sponsors, but it's helping a lot. And so creating that brand, it was like, okay, who is Ava Goodison and who is Ava Goodison Triathlete? And to start with, I really had to think about it, because I went straight from being in a collegiate experience and on a team to being on my own essentially as Ava Goodison Triathlete. And I decided, okay, like I'm someone who wants to encompass a lot of different things. And I really value having balance in my life. And I learned that pretty quickly when I went straight into triathlon after graduating. And I was like, I'm going to go full-time training. And I found, I was like, you know what? I actually thrive off having lots of different things in my life, like having something to study, having maybe a job, a social life as well. And keeping these different things was so important to me. So having balance became a key part of my personal brand, and not being afraid to share that as well, because there was a lot of misconceptions that when you're a high performance athlete, that's what you do and that's what you focus on and that's high performance. And these other things were labeled as almost like distractions. But for me, that it was completely high performance was having these outside things, because I needed that, those outside things to focus on that gave me the focus to train. Otherwise, it's like if I just had training, I found that I was just starting to overthink things, and there just wasn't enough going on in my life to make me a happy, healthy, balanced Ava that was thriving in sport. So yeah, that became fairly obvious quite quickly that having balance in my life was really, really key.
That is so important and huge. And I've spoken with a lot of different athletes, and it's the identity part, right? Because if you are just a triathlete, quote unquote, just a triathlete, that's your main identity. Then if triathlete, like if your races aren't going well, or if training's not going well, then your whole self is not going well. Whereas probably very similar to you, I found when I went to the rowing in college, like in the US, it was like, okay, well, training was kind of rough this morning, but I have class now. Mm-hmm. And or I have weights this afternoon, and I was able to kind of diversify not only my identity, but my source of validation. Yeah. So it's like, that is so important to then, as you said, and I mentioned in the introduction, is like when you do come back to triathlete mode, you are more balanced and refreshed, and you've had perspective. And that is just so huge. And I didn't feel like that's a takeaway straight out the gate with you. So thank you. Is like diversity does actually help you excel in that niche as well.
Yeah. And that became really obvious when I had my back injury last year too, is that it felt like, although I had lots of other things going on, this year was Paris Olympics, and that was a big goal of mine, was to make that. So it was kind of around Tokyo when I was still in the US and I wanted to move into triathlon afterwards. I was looking at that, and I was like, you know what, like that could be me. Like, I think I could do this, you know? So that was kind of what inspired me to go like, all right, I could do this. And like, it was motivating, and I really went sort of all in that next year. So that was like 2022, it was a great year. Although I was mainly just focused on triathlon, things were going well. And when things are going well, it's easy because you think, oh, it's all going well. Like, life is great. But as soon as it doesn't start going well, that's when things get really tough. And that's when I realized, so I had a back injury at the end of that year. I was doing too much in the gym and I slipped a disc in my back, which at the time I thought, you know, bummer, I'll recover quickly, it'll be fine. But it took the best part of 2 years for me to fully recover. And that psychological journey was something that I could never have imagined it would be. But it really, really highlighted the importance for me to have balance and to have other things to focus on. Because I think if I didn't have anything else, I'm not sure if I'd still be in the sport today.
Because, and thank you for sharing that. And I think too, sometimes the gravity of like, it takes years to get a PB or PR of like 2 seconds, right? Or it takes years to recover from an injury, but all it takes is one poor form deadlift to slip a crazy, the concept of time of like 15 seconds can unravel everything. Mm-hmm. And how long it takes to build that back up, and there's just no quick solution, like you said, 2 years, and now you're on the other end, but that 2 years was tough.
It was tough, but I think the things that I learned from those 2 years were actually so, so valuable, and I would have never have learned those things otherwise. Like, I mean, for one, it was the importance of balance, and two, it was like, it really made me think, okay, what do I want to do sort of post-triathlon? Because I know that it's such a short time you have in this career. And it actually started setting me up with the pathways in my career post-triathlon, because I knew, I felt a little bit stuck actually at that time, because I'd had this amazing experience in the US, but I hadn't transitioned into the workforce yet. And it's a little bit tricky when you go from being in the US to back into New Zealand and trying to get yourself ready to work. Then they don't really prep you for that part. That's all up to you. So this was a good opportunity to start paving my way into post-competition career. It was definitely really tough to try and figure out, okay, who is Ava post-triathlon and what am I going to do there? And it actually also made me reflect on my sporting journey so far and really trying to enjoy the process. Because high performance is tough. Like it's a brutal environment sometimes, and you can get so caught in the bubble of high performance where it's all about like focusing on the little things and the here and the now. And before you know it goes by quickly. It goes by so quickly. And sometimes you've got to just try and snap out of it and be like, oh, no way, I'm here in Spain living my dream. I get to train for a living to go and race at these World Cups. Like, I'm not going to be doing this for the rest of my life. Like, how cool is this? And it's a hard thing to do. I think it takes a lot of like retrospect and reflecting, which if anything is a privilege that I've had with this injury, that I had the ability to look back and truly appreciate like where I've been and what I've done. Because sometimes I look around and I see other people in high performance and it's like, they're just living the day in, the day out, and maybe not truly appreciating where they are and where they've come. Which I think, is a thing that I've done retrospectively. And if someone had told me to do that in my first year, I'd kind of just be like, oh yeah, no, it's fine. But it's until you take a step back to look at it, I think that's when it comes.
That is such huge perspective, right? And as you said, mm-hmm. if someone had told you, you would be like, okay, thank you. But the wisdom comes from you experiencing it yourself, and to be able to live in the moment and be present is another word, like mindfulness. There's a lot of different synonyms to that, but mm-hmm. your injury was able to make you appreciate now, I am in Spain and I'm talking with someone on a podcast about being a professional athlete. Like, that is so cool. So just made a major kudos underlined. And I was really curious as well, because obviously we know each other from some years and it's really fun to see like that you're doing this. And I was having a conversation with another friend who's doing the pro rowing, and I was like, well, like at what point did you realize like this was legitimate, like mm-hmm. that you could, like you said, we're not making a lot of money per se, but we're not in it for that. Like, you are a pro athlete as what you do. At what point did you realize like, oh, I could make this an actual thing? And did that change suddenly how you approach training?
Yeah, so I guess my journey is not typical of a usual like triathlete's journey into the sport of triathlon. A lot of triathletes kind of get brought up through the junior ranks and then they slowly make their way and they usually stay in the bubble of triathlon all the way through. But I mean, like you, I also went to the US and I was there for running. And I think I've actually been fortunate to have this sort of like holistic view of sport and life and it being sort of a journey the whole way through, which now I'm actually really grateful I had, instead of just being so focused on sport from a young age. My parents and my community were always really supportive of the whole package, I'm really, really grateful I had that view. And I think it's the reason why I still am in sport today and I didn't burn out in early years. I decided to embark on my US journey after school to UC Davis. And I chose UC Davis specifically because, yes, it was a Division I running school and they had a great running program, but it was also a really, really good university. I could get a great education and it was in a cool part of the world in Northern California. So I'm like, okay, I feel like we're getting the full package here. And I genuinely had no expectation on what would come out the other end. In the back of my mind, I was hopeful that I would move into triathlon at the end. But when you're starting 4 years of college and you don't know what's going to happen. So I really put no expectations on myself, and I was more focused on just like enjoying the journey and what that experience would bring, whatever it would bring. And I'm so grateful that I had that outlook, because I've made so many great friends over there that I'm still in contact with, and I really enjoyed my education. I got to travel a lot. So I think just having that really healthy, balanced mindset and experience over there made me sort of also still happy, healthy, and hungry for more post-graduation. So of course COVID hit, and like I think it was our junior year, like 2020. Yeah. So that was really poor timing, and I spent a lot of that back in New Zealand, which I trained with the New Zealand Triathlon group there. That was an interesting experience. I sort of wasn't sure if I actually wanted to go into triathlon at that time. And then I was like, all right, I'll go back, I'll graduate, and then we'll see. And of course, the Olympics got delayed a year. And we had our two girls go to Tokyo. And Tokyo was sort of a mixed performance, but there was definitely an opportunity for females in triathlon at that time. And I thought, okay, like I could do this. I had been still swimming and biking when I was in the States. My running had obviously gone really well over there. So I thought, okay, like if I really try, I could make this team. And COVID actually worked to my advantage. So when they were picking the Commonwealth Games team for 2022, normally you have to have a certain ranking and enough world points to get opportunities to race. And of course, I had none of that because I'd been in the US. But they decided since COVID, it was unfair. Some people got to race, some people didn't. So New Zealand just made it a clean slate for all. They just put on three races and started 2022. And they said, may the best girls make the team. Which was great for me because I didn't have any points. So we had these three races and I ended up finishing about like fourth overall. So I just missed out on the Commonwealth Games team, which at the time I wasn't too upset about because I'd only just really started the sport. I sort of made the high performance group then. And I think now that I think about it, like it probably came a little bit easier than I really deserved it to, although I had been working really, really hard those last 4 years. But from that point onwards, I thought, no, actually, like I deserve to be here. I am good enough. And I've made this team on my own merit. So yeah, that was only 2 years ago now. And I guess from there, it was like, okay, like Paris is in 2 years. Like if I work really hard and I'm training with the group, then that could be a possibility. And it kind of just went from there. And then that first year, I went from, I think, getting 40th in my first World Cup to at the end of the year, I finished seventh. So there was lots of improvement in that first year, which was great. But then it quickly derailed with the back injury. It was literally a week after that last World Cup where I finished seventh. So I went from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. And to be honest, it was probably a blessing. I didn't know it was going to be 2 years at that time. I think if I'd known it would be 2 years, I don't know if I would have stayed in the sport. I would have been like, that's too long to wait. But just not the uncertainty of the back injury. It's what kept me going. It also drove me crazy at times. But I think it is what kept me in the sport, kept me pushing. And yeah, that whole psychological journey of just trying to figure out when my body was going to heal, finding new strengths, but also having to deal with these constant setbacks. Now, having retrospect, it's definitely helped my resilience as an athlete, because a lot of athletes, yes, they have setbacks, but I mean, I'm not sure if they've experienced something quite like this. So yeah. It's been an absolute journey. I've looked at these 2 years I've had in high performance triathlon, and so much has happened in these 2 years. But yeah, I've come away with a lot.
Yeah, no, certainly. Like as you embodied there, like the highest of highs, you get seventh to the lowest of lows of like, am I? And suddenly it shifts from seventh, well, maybe I can get top five, to just like, can I get on a bike and make the transition to a run? Like you just got completely leveled of expectation. And I agree with you, as much as it was a absolute grind mentally, physically, psychologically. Like, you having done that, now you're in, it sounds and it seems like, a really solid place. Mm-hmm. And there were some sprinkles of it there. So to get to like the crux question of Tall Poppy Talk, is this idea of, you know, like Tall Poppy Syndrome and do I deserve to be here? What are other people? Like, all of that you kind of mentioned bits and pieces. So to take it a step back, firstly, how would you define Tall Poppy Syndrome? No right or wrong answer. And then how have you experienced it?
Yes, I would say in a very short form, Tall Poppy Syndrome is suppressing success. And I think it's definitely something that's big in New Zealand culture. And you don't really realize it growing up. It's just, it seems to just exist. And I just remember it becoming really predominant when I moved to the US. And because they are the complete polar opposite, which at the start I was like, this is so American, this is too much. We've been trained to really talk things down. But at the end of my 4 years, I loved it. Like, I'd completely changed. I'd gone from never wanting to share success and never really celebrating success and always trying to suppress success, if anything. And the American girls thought it was really odd. They thought, what? Like, why is she doing that? And then we'd always start to like congratulate each other in workouts and in training. And it would always be like, good job, good job. And I kind of thought it was odd to start with. And then, yeah, 4 years later, I was like giving out high fives, little fist pumps at the end of every like rep. And I loved it because it really created this positive energy that I felt like New Zealand was missing. And it's a real shame that Tall Poppy Syndrome exists in New Zealand because we're such a high achieving, talented nation. And it's something, it's that one thing that's just holding us back. And it's like, how awesome would it be if we were all just like giving each other like high fives and just encouraging each other and having this positive energy and training? I feel like it could just uplift us to that next level. I did try and bring that energy when I came into the New Zealand triathlon environment in that first year. And that was interesting because it was bringing this American high energy that I mean, I wasn't quite up to the same level as the Americans, but it was definitely still another level above what New Zealand had. And it was sort of met with hesitation to start with. It was like, okay, she's clearly been to America. Like, chill out. But then a couple of the younger girls started to get amongst it. And I started to see a slight cultural shift, actually, through time. There was definitely a difference. And just when you're just struggling and you're battling in a session and you're kind of next to each other and just that little comment of like, you know, you've got this, like, let's keep going. It actually started to bring us together. And I do remember that first year training in Europe with the girls here, like feeling a difference in that culture and that vibe when there was that more positive energy.
That is awesome. And I'm just nodding along relating because I had the same thing when I turned up to the States and I was like, are they like, is this real? Why is everyone so enthusiastic? And I felt that like cynicism, the kind of almost just cautious of like, is this actually happening? But you're right there. Like, there would be times we're on the erg, which people is like the rowing machine, and I would be suddenly like in the depths of a spiral of like, this is
you're
the most
fighting demons.
Yeah. Yeah, like, this is so painful. And then you would just hear someone yell like, yep. And that just sent me, it pulled me back out of the darkness. I was like, perspective, like circling back to what you'd said at the beginning, this is fun. I am able to exercise. I have a room full of all these people. We're trying to achieve something together. And it just helped me gain perspective of why I was doing the thing in the first place. And so I love that you had that resilience and that positivity and that you've seen that cultural shift, because I think that's kind of the genesis of the podcast for me, is to help spark conversations and spark other people, much like you, to bring that cultural shift into it. And it doesn't need to be overnight, because yes, New Zealand's pretty set in our ways, but and I don't think we need to completely flip it, because there are also merits to the New Zealand way of almost work hard in silence, let success speak for you. I do see those benefits, but I don't think it needs to be one or the other. I think we can marry the two together.
Yeah, no, I agree there. It's like, there's no way New Zealanders are going to start yelling and shouting all this positive, because that's not us. That's not who New Zealand is. And yeah, we like to stay humble in our success, but you're right. I think it's about finding that perfect balance of supporting one another and having that positive energy in a humble way, a humble and authentic way.
Yeah, and exactly, authentic to you. So it's going to look different for Ava, for me, for someone else, and that's totally fine. Enjoy the process. Okay, last serious question before a sign-off question. And I just really appreciate from all the articles I've read that you've either written or someone's written for you, you advocate for the importance of mental health. We've talked a lot about the importance of balance and diversity in what you do, and you promote just how significant these gains have been from your strong mind. So how, alongside the physical, do you kind of actively train your mind to make sure you're in a good mental place as well?
Yeah, because the mind is a tricky thing, and I'm still honestly figuring out my own mindset through these years, and I've learned so much in the last couple of years about mindset. And I feel like it was something that's really taken off in the last couple of years too. It was something that we never really used to focus on, especially as a junior. You didn't really focus on the psychological aspect of sport. You kind of just went along and trained. And I think it's only until you hit a roadblock that you then tap into the psychological elements. That's definitely what I've found out about myself. And it's really personal. But I think for me, I've figured out a few things about mental health that have been really key to my performance. And the first one we've already touched on is about having different outlets where you can actually focus your mental energy. I mean, high performance sport, it's a grueling environment, and it does take up a lot of energy, but it shouldn't take up all of your mental energy. And having other outlets has just been so, so important for me. So whether that be work or study, where I can actually focus my energy on that and not have to think about anything sport related, has been really, really beneficial. Personally, for me, having like a social outlet is a big one. And it's easy, again, in a high performance environment to sort of associate your social life with your other teammates and whatnot, which for some people is great and that's all they need. But I quickly found out for me that it was really important to have another social life outside of sport. And I've actually just moved to the Gold Coast in Australia at the start of this year, which was, it was daunting at the start. I didn't know anyone, but has been really, really, really beneficial in terms of achieving balance and having these different outlets as well. So yeah, those are two key things. And always just trying to stay like, come back down to earth, stay grounded, and then trying to find the enjoyment in your day-to-day things and the little things you do in sport. Because there were so many times I just was going through the motions and I was like, you know what? Like, if I'm not enjoying it, why am I doing it? Like, I need to find the enjoyment in what I'm doing. Otherwise I'm gonna be tapped out before I know it. And I had to make some changes in order to do that, which was scary, but it's so worth it to do. And so for me, I would join different training groups. So I was doing some run sessions on my own and I found myself I wasn't enjoying it anymore. And so I found a run group and I joined this run squad that was a great social outlet, had great people to train with and push each other. And I actually genuinely was so excited every Tuesday and Saturday to go to run club because I get to hang out with my friends. I'd push myself hard and I would see improvement. And it was just that aspect of pure fun in my sport was so important for my mental health. And coincidentally, my performance went up as well.
I love that we hear this always in theory. It's like we know with sports science, like, oh, it'll make you improve. And you're like, yeah. But then once you actually enact the change and you experience it. So I'm so happy that you're in that place. And I also just want to emphasize and put gravity that like Ava's has put in the mahi, like this didn't just happen through some thoughts. It's been a process, and to not understate that you have to be really active in that process as well.
You do. And unfortunately, I have had to learn through experience, and sometimes not great experience. Like I've had to have a prolapse disc to then find out that, okay, these are the limits and this is how psychologically I'm going to react. And this is actually some really good ways to manage it. So there've been experience in there where it's initially it wasn't a great experience, but I've actually learned a lot through it.
Thank you. That's so important and authentic. And to switch gears slightly on my sign-off question, if you had to listen to just one musical artist for the rest of your life, who's it going to be?
Oh, that's a tough one. It kind of depends on my mood, to be honest, because probably like Arctic Monkeys or something, where it's just like you can actually like bop along to, and it's good for a lot of different moods.
Easy. I love that. I have not listened to them in a hot minute, but I'm going to have to. Ava Goodison, literally in Europe, in the midst of competition, you have carved out time to join me on Tall Poppy Talk, and I do not take that lightly. So thank you. I feel like the big takeaway, I wrote it down, is like the importance of balance. That is what I'm taking away, and each listener is going to take something now. So just thank you for being on Tall Poppy Talk. It means the world.
No, thank you so much, Grace. I've really enjoyed talking about it. And it's great to just be open and transparent about things that I've experienced and what's helped. And hopefully, like someone, your listeners can take something away from this. And no, it's been a privilege to be on your podcast. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Tall Poppy Talk. We'll see you next time. Feel free to check us out on socials, YouTube, and the website. Thanks for today's guest, and we'll see you all next time. Take care.